Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to this week's episode of the True Fiction Project. In this special episode, I feature season 4 guests from my homeland, India. They're all artists in their own right, whether this be through song, the written word, or through cooking. To kick us off, let's start with an old classmate from my adolescent years. Anand Thakur is an Anglophone poet and a Hindustani classical musician, and I had such fun catching up with him and hearing all about the success of his career. Anand shares 3 original poems titled Sea Link, My Place, and Mughal Sequence. Let's take a listen.
Contemporary Indian writing is all over the place because it glorifies free flow in an attempt to imitate America without actually having free flow. Now, it's something you have to really have to create art like that. I won't say I completely lack it or anything, but a directionless free flow for me was not satisfactory personally. So I felt the need for containment and restraint, and also letting go. Hey, I also wrote in my later work, Mughal Sequence and stuff like that is very free. But again, I need to be true to a character or a situation, if not a meter, or if not a rhyme scheme. I need to be true to something there. Pure chaos let loose for me was not art, but it can also be. I'm open to the option. So here it is. Sea Link. A swerve to the left, and at last I can see from outside the city I was raised in. At the edge of the village on my right, a finger of rock laid bare by an ebbing tide, the skyline retreating in darkness and halogen light. Surely the voice at once spoke true and lied, that said I belong to this city of slums and towers. There's a side of me that wants to cast aside what links us together to commonly call it ours. And bound to it in concrete, this our very own brand new sea link remains inseparable from what I love and long to flee, though it claims to stand alone. Here none may linger, all must always move. It isn't true, but there's relief in pretending one is through, as taut white cables fly backwards above. And the next poem I'm going to read, also a sonnet, is something I wrote almost a week ago. With all these sock puppets bouncing up and down on the internet, I think I began to feel a bit like one. So it's called My Place. I was no one till a sudden hand sewed into my skin a beak and wings. I'm now a parrot from a mythic land who leaps and squawks and speaks and sometimes sings. I tell myself, as smiling crowds applaud, there is some meaning and some joy in this. I bring to playrooms and a children's ward the visions children see and grown-ups miss. Yet seated on my master's bedroom shelf, I see how I've been lying to myself. Relieve me of these roles I do not love. Disown me, hand. I'm tired of deceit. I have no wish to be a clowning glove. My place is at the soles of silent feet. So this is the last poem in Mughal sequence. It's the Kohinoor. The Kohinoor, here in this tower, bound by gold clamps to thin walls of gold, I, who am pure mineral, neither mortal nor ghost, remain doomed to abide. Of those who are sent here, only the living escape. I endure the doom of rock, inhabited by light and never at home. No, never. Never for a minute since I was taken from the stomach of this earth, except perhaps. Through the week I dreamed unguarded, unpraised and unpossessed, in the waistcoat pocket of a British lieutenant who thought me worthless. Most men who held me beheld only what I showed them, and I saw much that their pride could not begin to see, though monarch and vassal alike, minion and minister, eunuch and page, cupbearer, concubine, courtesan and queen, only rarely guessed that I was watching. I have seen too many blindings, too many tremblings of oil lamps in mirrored paternal halls usurped by the young, the banishment of music, and the nervous weaving of recalcitrant cotton, where fountains had leaped and the peacock once danced. Too many orgies, too much opium, and too much penitence. Too many depraved flailings in the courtyards of mosques, and self-assured mastectomies of prurient goddesses by incensed believing hands to be moved or repulsed, intrigued or deceived. These things I have seen, and seen myself too often now in the sculpted faces of mute attendants, while ailing emperors clung to me in their slumber, then woke before death, envious of my transparence, but unaware of my gaze, staring right through me with opiate eyes, or eyes vermilion with wine. I, who have never cared to be a seer, have seen these things, and ask only now to be sheltered from the light that can never be mine. Return me to the mines. Carry me back to the dark that scorned me.
Next, we'll hear my interview with Avinash Martins. Avinash is a Goan cuisine chef, and he discusses his restaurant Cavatina and why he decided to focus his culinary abilities on Goan cuisine. I love how Avinash describes how he tells stories through his cuisine and the beautiful way in which he ties culture into plating his food. After my interview, we will listen to a story based upon this. It's called Toddy Trails, and no prizes for guessing the fact that the story involves a local baker in Goa who uses toddy to replace yeast. And without giving you any spoilers, I suggest you listen to hear how the story ends.
I wanted to bring about all great dishes from all over the world to this part and slow part of South Goa. So that's how Cavatina started. But what happened was, over the years, from 2013 to about 2020, just before the lockdown, my style changed. My attitude towards the food changed. And I said, and I thought to myself, why am I celebrating the world when I have a beautiful place like Goa, such beautiful people of Goa, and such great stories of Goa? So then lockdown happened, the pandemic struck, and I was there shut for 6 months. So that was the turning point in my career. in my restauranting, in my chef's career. That was the turning point. So this 6 months dug up a treasure trove of stories and so many experiences where I went to different parts of Goa, visited villages, fishing communities, toddy tappers, basket weavers, chitari artists. And that's why I realized that these people have a bundle of stories which have to be narrated to the world. And how do I do that? As a culinarian, I would have weaved them up in my cuisine and then narrated a story in form of that.
The rhythmic sound of Ram's bread van, which typically heralded the morning in the village, held a different tune today. Worry clouded Ram's usually cheerful demeanor as he stood outside his bakery, nestled near the tranquil river. The relentless monsoon rains had wreaked havoc, and panic had taken hold.
All my yeast has been ruined, Manohar. I have a critical Mumbai order to fulfill, but how am I going to do it now?
His neighbor Manohar, known for his skill in tapping toddy, stepped forward. In his eyes, a spark of an idea ignited.
Ram, let's go back to the old ways.
Ram, looking puzzled and desperate, questioned Manohar's statement.
What do you mean by that, Manohar?
Your yeast may be destroyed, but I have a cellar filled with enough toddy cakes to last a year.
Yes.
Let's return to making pao the way our ancestors did. Remember the recipe they brought from Portugal? The one using toddy to ferment the bread.
Ram hesitated.
That's a challenging process, and I need to make it overnight for the Mumbai order.
If the Portuguese could make it work in the 1500s, then you can make it work today. I'll help you. After all, what's real pao without the toddy?
And so, with determination in their hearts, they embarked on the arduous journey of perfecting the toddy fermented bread. Hours slipped away, filled with the clinking of utensils and whispered discussions. Along the way, they encountered numerous obstacles and faced countless failures. The initial batches of toddy bread tasted dreadful, and frustration threatened to consume them. As they pressed on, the night darkened around them. They teetered on the edge of giving up when at last, they achieved a breakthrough. The toddy bread exhibited the distinctive flavor they had strived to recreate. Yet, their moment of relief was to be short-lived. In the early morning light, as the first rays of dawn pierced through the bakery's windows, Ram and Manohar ventured into the kitchen. There they bore witness to a shocking scene. A diminutive man, unmistakably a villager, clad in audacious orange attire, was hastily loading their entire batch of prepared dough onto the back of a compact truck parked just outside the bakery. The thief's eyes met theirs, and without a moment's hesitation, he leaped into the driver's seat, igniting the engine. Ram and Manohar exchanged alarmed glances, their hearts pounding as they grasped the audacious theft unfurling before them. Reacting instinctively, they sprang into action.
Stop! What do you think you're doing?
Caught red-handed, the thief pivoted to confront the furious bread seller and the determined toddy tapper charging toward him. Without a word, he accelerated away, leaving a haze of flour particles swirling in his wake. Fueled by adrenaline and an unwavering resolve to reclaim their stolen dough, Ram and Manohar vaulted into Ram's delivery van. The engine roared to life, and they plunged into a heart-pounding car chase through the labyrinthine streets of their Goan village.
We can't let him get away, Manohar.
Hold on, Ram. We are closing in.
Just when it seemed they had finally caught up, the thief executed a daring maneuver, darting into a narrow alley. Ram followed suit, the van's tires screeching as they navigated the confined space. The chase ultimately led them to the heart of the village, where the thief's truck came to a screeching halt. Ram and Manohar leaped out of the van, determination etched on their faces as they confronted the thief.
It's over. Give us back our dough.
The thief faced them, his eyes darting nervously as he spoke.
Fine, I took your dough. But it's not about the bread, it's about the money the multinational company promised.
Ram was incensed.
What do you mean, multinational? You were selling our cherished family recipe to some faceless conglomerate?
But the thief, caught in the act, had no intentions of being apprehended. Without another word, he revved up the engine and sped away, leaving Ram and Manohar staring helplessly at the receding taillights of his vehicle. The stolen batch of dough was gone, and they had been unable to thwart his escape. The sense of defeat weighed heavily on them as they trudged back to Ram's bakery. As they surveyed the scene, disappointment etched on their faces over the loss of the stolen dough, Manohar stumbled upon something extraordinary. Hidden beneath a table covered in a fine layer of flour, a single sheet of paper lay crumpled but intact.
Take a look at this.
Ram grabbed the paper, a frown creasing his brow as a realization dawned on him.
This is our toddy bread recipe.
Yes. He took the bread but left this.
As they closely examined the recipe, their eyes widened. Scribbled in the margins were notes that strongly hinted at a multinational company's keen interest in acquiring the secret behind their age-old family recipe.
They were after our formula all along.
Ram and Manohar stood there, stunned by this revelation. The thief had successfully absconded with the stolen dough but had unintentionally left behind the recipe that was the very heart of their culinary tradition. Just how far would this company go to protect their culinary legacy, and what hidden secrets did their humble recipe hold that made it so incredibly valuable? The intrigue deepened, leaving them to contemplate the latent potential of their culinary heritage, now safeguarded within a single sheet of paper.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And last but not least, here is Priya Sabharwal's interview for this special episode with Indian Artists of Season 4. Priya is a longtime friend and a wonderful storyteller. When she was just 21 years old, she discovered she was adopted. The interview will explain how. Following the interview, Priya reads an excerpt from her story, Masala Movie, in the book My Voice, highlighting what she uncovered through the process of trying to find her biological parents.
So this book, My Voice, is, I think there are various volumes, but this one, the volume that we have, and all of them have essays or short stories by women writers, and they're based on their experiences or true events. So my story per se is about adoption. So I found out at the age of 21 that I was adopted. And before that, I had no idea. I had no clue at all. So it was kind of like a surprise to me. And there was a lot of emotional baggage that I had with it because it was so many unresolved issues. And when I turned 50 and my parents had passed, I thought it would be a good time to write about it. And it really helped. It really helped me a lot. There's been no direct communication since the adoption process took place through an agency. In their eyes, my parents, there seemed no reason for me to even know or want to know any details, as I was their daughter in every sense. As far as my parents were concerned, that was the end of the discussion. But was it really? At the age of 21, when you discover that all that you had believed in and arrogantly taken for granted was simply not true, I felt betrayed. I had a dark secret about my origin, something which must never be discussed, an unspoken rule, with anyone ever. This weighed heavily on me. To the outside world, I seemed the same, but internally, I went into a shell. Clearly, this skeleton in the closet was something to be ashamed of, which is why it was off limits for discussion. How would people view me now? Did they already know the truth about me? Were they laughing behind my back? I felt like an imposter leading a fake life. Through some amateur investigation, I discovered that my biological mother had given birth to twins and died after childbirth. The biological father took the son, my twin brother, and gave up the female child, that's me, for adoption. Even that scant information was hard to find, as I had no support or resources. It was also done in the most clandestine manner, since my parents had passive-aggressively avoided any further discussion on this topic. An acquaintance helped me as I was too scared and intimidated to go to the hospital myself to find my birth certificate. 30 years ago, there was no internet or email. Even now, it's not easy getting any sensitive information online in India, especially old documents or papers. Overnight, my life as I knew it had been transformed into an unbelievable Hindi movie, a masala one at that. Masala movies are typical of melodrama, a favorite being twins parted at birth, growing up in different environments, plenty of heartache and drama, and finally reunited together at the end. Would my end be similar? Like any only child, I had always yearned to have a sibling, especially an older brother. The knowledge of actually having a twin brother certainly threw me off. Since I couldn't find any further information using traditional methods, I consulted astrologers, Reiki masters, Brahmins, aura readers, Nadi Shastra, all of whom said that there was a block and they were unable to tell me more. They advised me that it was perhaps destined that I was not supposed to know. After a year of self-imposed emotional isolation, I finally opened up to a dear friend. She had sensed something was not quite right, seen through my facade, and repeatedly prodded me to discuss whatever was disturbing me. Again, the truth kind of blurted itself out. But gosh, what a relief it was to share my dark secret with a non-judgmental, concerned friend. I just wish I had mustered enough courage to do it sooner. It turned out she already knew the story of my adoption through the Indian family friend Grapevine, but had never ever spoken to me about it since she found it appropriate to initiate a conversation. For the longest time, even a single scene of a movie, news article, or casual conversation related to adoption would leave me teary-eyed and flustered. It's only now, in the recent years, that I can speak about my journey confidently, thanks to the love and support of my husband and daughters. Looking back, I wish I had received some kind of counseling or support at this crucial juncture of my young life. But during the 90s, that was not quite heard of, especially in India. Not many people discussed their feelings with unknown paid professionals. I was stonewalled and shamed when I attempted to discuss my thoughts and feelings with family members. Why was I even looking in the past? I should only look forward, onwards and upwards. I should be grateful for my loving family I already had.
I hope you enjoyed this look back at the Indian artists of Season 4. This is the True Fiction Project, and I am your host, Renita Hora. Here at the True Fiction Project, we are always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So, if you have a great story or know somebody who does, or if you are a writer who would like to contribute, then please do get in touch with us at renita.com/contact.
Thank you for listening to the True Fiction Project with Renita Hora. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter to receive more inspiring stories showing how fiction is born from our everyday experiences. For more information, visit www.truefictionproject.com.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.